Now, if we were to take that passage literally, call no one rabbi, teacher, or father, I guess we're in really, really deep trouble. Aren't we? Because what do they call guys like me? Careful. What do you call bishops? This might not be as popularly known. What's the formal address if you're encountering a bishop someplace? Your Excellency. If it's a cardinal archbishop, then it's Your Eminence. If it's the Pope, we have to do a little bit of ecclesial education here, aren't we? The Pope is Your Holiness or Holy Father. So he's trying to teach us, it sounds like, against using any kind of a title, and yet since first century AD, we've got all kinds of titles all over the place. It's like we didn't listen. Or did Jesus mean something more significant than that? If you listen to the first reading from the prophet Malachi, he's literally the last book in the Old Testament before you turn the page and hit the beginning of Matthew's gospel. And the people have returned from their exile, from the Babylonian exile, and a couple hundred years have passed. They've reestablished the temple and all the temple sacrifices, and things were going along fairly well. This is when the Pharisees rise up and become a significant factor in Jewish life, and they were doing really well for a while, but now we're at the point of about 150-ish years before the coming of Christ, and things have gone rather precipitously downhill. They had authority, you know, they sit on Moses' seat is the phrase that Jesus uses in the gospel, which meant typically in the Jewish synagogue, you would have someone get up to do a reading from a passage of the Old Testament standing up, and then to teach on it, they would sit down. There'd be a special chair in the synagogue, basically called the chair of Moses. And from that, they would, you know, supposedly teach authoritatively on whatever passage that they had read from. But they started abusing it. In some cases, they were teaching falsehoods. They were misleading people. And especially, they would be the sophist on people who had the most. Was this a sign of? Money. You know, if you were rich and powerful, you could probably pretty much get away with anything you wanted, as long as you were giving generously to the Pharisees and their pet projects, their favorite things, and to the temple. But then you poor folks, not so easy. In other words, there is a lot of injustice springing up and going on, and it really concentrated to become significant by the time Jesus shows up on the scene. There's a lot of trouble going on, there's a lot of corruption, and this is what Jesus is trying to address. It's not that you're not supposed to use any kind of a title. It's that if you have a title, it means you've got some sort of authority, and do not do what with it? Do not abuse it. If you are a priest, don't abuse your authority. You're supposed to use it how? There is a key phrase towards the end of that gospel passage where Jesus is instructing his apostles. This is why this whole thing comes up in the first place. You know, we're in Jerusalem just before the Last Supper and the agony in the garden and everything else that leads to this is about to happen. And from that point on, once he ascends back into heaven, who's going to have the authority over the early church? Peter and the apostles to whom this is being addressed, and all the way on down to our day and time. Don't abuse your authority. If you have a position, don't let it go to your head, which is something that throughout human history has been one really huge, consistent, ongoing, nonstop problem. Humans and authority just don't mix well together because we let what get in the way? Pride. If you wanted to put the Reader's Digest condensed version of what Jesus was trying to teach his apostles, it basically comes down to stay humble. Exercise your authority, yes, with humility, on behalf of the people that you're assigned to serve. Don't use it abusively to serve yourself. So who all does that apply to? That's not a rhetorical question. Who all should that apply to? There are all kinds of positions of authority in the world, aren't there? We have authority. Deacons have some authority. The bishops, the archbishops, the cardinals, current successor of St. Peter, there are all kinds of positions of authority within the church, but those aren't the only positions of authority in the world, are they? If you're a parent, you have authority over your... That was less than rousing. You have authority over your children. Who is that authority supposed to be exercised for? Yourself or for your children? If you're a teacher, you have authority in your classroom over your students. Should it not also be exercised on behalf of, for the sake of, your students? And I'm talking students, pre-K all the way to university, which includes, if you're called to be a teacher, what you teach should contain what? Five-letter word that starts with a T. Truth. That's if you're in a church school, in a faith formation Sunday school program, in a classroom, in a civil school, or in a parochial school, you are entrusted with teaching the truth for the sake of the students entrusted to your care. Is there any kind of a problem with that today? Oh my goodness. All of those students from these, big, significant, high-dollar universities out protesting in the streets, wanting to see what happened to Israel. They want it to be wiped out, which means they want the Jewish people to be wiped out. What happened? I find it slightly encouraging that some of their high-dollar backers are pulling their financial support away from them as a result. It needs to happen a whole lot more. But this is taking abuse of an authority and using it to twist minds instead of build them up. That's something you have to watch out for if you're a priest, deacon, or bishop. What you teach, what I'm supposed to teach from here, is not whatever I want. Was whatever is in here, because I'm supposed to be teaching it to you. Not Father Joe's opinion, not Deacon Mike's opinion. It's the truth of the gospel, as it has been passed down to us from the time of the apostles to our present day and time until Jesus comes again, and it's located based on scripture and tradition. The teaching is handed on down from the time of the apostles down to our day and time. All of those church councils. That's what we're supposed to teach. What are parents supposed to teach their children? For some reason it gets awful quiet in here sometimes. Makes you think a little bit, I hope. What are you supposed to teach your children? Whether they're still in your arms or getting ready to go off to college and out on their own. Basically the same thing like we're supposed to teach. Raising a child begins with a Christian parent raising their child up in the faith, a promise that you made on the day that you had them baptized. You are their first teachers, as in primary, in the ways of faith. When does that end? When you're in the box. Jesus is really clear here. It's a warning to us all. You know, what did God say to Malachi, to those in that 150-year period before the coming of Jesus? What did he warn them? They're abusing their authority, they are misleading people, and God's going to bring what upon them? Blessing? I mean, it was very explicit. He said, he's going to bring a curse upon you, and all of the blessings that you've gathered to yourself are going to get turned into a curse. How about civil authority? Law enforcement officers, people elected to local, state, and national offices, into the various judicial systems. That's authority, isn't it? Isn't it? There's a growing lack of enthusiasm here. You know, I think we're starting to realize this really does come to sit in our own homes, doesn't it? And how authority is exercised anywhere must always be done in the service of the ones that you're called to serve, whether you're elected to it, appointed to it, or hired for it. All authority must always, in Christ, be exercised on behalf of, for the sake of, those that you are called to, not enrich yourself, but who you are called to serve. Service sits at the heart, and the heart of it is standing Christ himself, who is watching us. And one thing that should always be in the forefront of our minds when we're exercising any kind of authority in any place, in any type of situation, is I will be held accountable for what I do with it when I stand before God at the end of my earthly life. It's a heavy responsibility. But again, don't forget what sits in the middle of the heart of everything. Doing this is hard. It's a very big human temptation that we have fallen to so many times. But what? We have guidance and we have the gift of grace. Being a just person in the exercise of authority is challenging, is difficult for us because of the way our nature has been weakened by original sin, but we're not left on our own. We have the guidance of God's truth, and we have the power of God's grace, especially the sacrament of the Eucharist. In Him, we can be a just people in God's sight. No matter what kind of authority has been entrusted to us, we have the grace that we need to guide us, to exercise it rightly, and the power to actually do so. And we need to remember that our service is meant to serve others, not ourselves. And that goes until we are no longer breathing on the face of planet Earth.